Blog Talk Radio.
What a moment, what a moment, what a moment, what a moment our Father God has brought us through. Hallelujah. He is good. And we're going to give thanks to the Lord this morning. The word that God gave me today was coming out of our Chronicles this morning. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Can you say thank you, Lord, this morning? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. For God is good and greatly to be praised. I am so grateful to be back with you this morning as we move forward in God's word. But it is great and it is good. Hallelujah. It is great and it is good. And we're going to give thanks today. Father God, I come to you this morning, thankful, grateful, and blessed to be your daughter. Thankful, grateful, and blessed to know that I am loved by you. Hallelujah. And thankful that you have given me another day. But you didn't have to wake me up this morning, but you did. And so, Father God, as I go to my prayer this morning, asking you, Lord, please increase as I decrease. Allow me, Lord God, to just do what you ask me to do. Humble my heart. Remove anything not like you from me, Lord God. But I want to make you proud of me, as all children want to make their parents proud of them. So, Father God, I thank you. I praise you. I lift up this word to you this morning, giving you honor, giving you glory, and giving you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. And again, this morning, that touch my heart that I just want to share with you before we get started. And it's this. It says, make you proud. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved by him, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly explaining the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15, NRSV. Father, as your image bearer, I want to make you proud of how I represent you in my life, with truth guiding my mind and your faithful love as my motivation. I offer all I am to serve your purposes on the earth. May your kingdom be made real in my life so everyone who knows me sees that your goodness is real and is accessible to all. Thank you for filling my life with your mercy and grace so I am able to partner with you in extending compassionate kindness to others. Let me be diligent in exhibiting your character and sharing your heart with those around me. I ask for boldness to reveal the meaning of my own life with those who are unfamiliar with your ways. There is no one like you, perfect, Father, and I want all the world to know the transformation you bring. You are a master restorer, melting hearts of stone and loving the dead to life. Whew, hallelujah. I thank God for loving me to life. And I say to you today, I love you to life. I speak life over all of you this morning, asking Daddy God to guide us all in the way that we should go, that when we wake up in the morning, we say thank you. When we go to sleep at night, we say thank you. That when we just move through our life, we say thank you. And that we give God what is due God. Just thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. As Sister Carolyn sings the song by the Hawkins singer, thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me. And you think about that song came out back in the 60s and is still relevant today. Still relevant today. It could have been me. Outdoors, no food, no clothes. We all could be just another tragedy. We could all be out there, but because of God, we are not. We are thankful. Be thankful today. Be thankful today. Be thankful today that God has given you a do-over. Be thankful. God gave you another day. God gave you another day. Because somebody didn't wake up this morning and they were in sin when they went to sleep last night. So we got to ask God, please forgive us, oh Lord, for anything. Thank you. Forgive me, God. Forgive me, God. To the Lord today. Give thanks to the Lord today. Give thanks to the Lord today. I just keep feeling it all in my spirit. Give thanks to the Lord today. You know, I got a call from a friend of mine that said that a good friend of hers had passed on. It just tells us every day God is calling his children home. You know, as I was at work on Friday, they were going to a funeral for someone that I had met through one of my clients. You know, and I think she was, and I when I was around her, she was moving toward Alzheimer's at that time. Fortunately, she did get it. She did have it. And she died from it. But the one thing this lady had was family. Her children came to visit her every month. There was one of her kids that was there visiting with her, talking with her, loving her, taking her on vacations. And her kids were all planning a trip to Israel, the whole entire group, all of them, including grandchildren, were planning a trip to Italy, and she would have been with them when she was in her right mind. They had taken her all over the world, her children, and I believe she left the kids when I have to worry about coming back to take care of funeral arrangements for her. I think she left so she could go on the trip to Italy, too. You know, so I say to those that have parents that are ill, please, please give your time to your mom and dad. Let them know that you love them, because there are some who don't have parents that are still here in this world. And so I say, love your mamas, love your daddies, forgive those that have hurt you. Let that stuff go. And give thanks to God that you're here. Millions didn't make it, but you're one of the ones that did. And all I can say is this morning that we are not like so many who forget that life is important. And I know that there are many out there who are having a moment today and had a moment when the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. But I saw a sign on one of my websites that I go to on Twitter, Vote Common Good. And the sad part is what this person said, I pray it's not what's become. And it says this, such a sad truth, it must change. It all must change. And the word that this person wrote was this, you're pro-life until the baby is poor, sick, hungry, or poor, hungry, sick, houseless or homeless, gay or color, an immigrant, transgender, mentally ill. Wow. As Christians, we all like to stand in there and say we're pro-life. We hold our banners up, anti-abortion, say this. Let us start putting our money where our mouths are. Let's not be celebrating this Roe v. Wade overturning. Let us be celebrating lives that are here. Let us celebrate the babies that are here, the babies that are hungry, the babies of color, the babies that are sick, the babies that are homeless. Let us start helping and loving each other so that when these children come into this world that are not wanted, we have our arms to receive them in love. That not one baby has to suffer because they're not wanted. So let's start putting our money where our mouth is, y'all. Let's start putting money into child care. Let's start putting money into helping those mothers and that are out there with children that are homeless. Let's start putting our money where our mouths are. As a church body, let us love. Let us not condemn. Because the same people that are screaming about being against abortion are the same ones with their nose looking down on that teenager that comes into the church pregnant. So I say this. Don't tell me about who you are. Show me what you are about. We're going to embrace. We're going to love. We're going to lift up. We're not going to tear down. Because you don't know that child's story. You don't know that family situation. So I say help, don't harm. Don't be celebrating. Start going to work. Because we got to help and not harm. In Jesus' name, that's all I got to say about Roe v. Wade. I'm grateful to be here myself. Because I could have very easily, like so many of all of us, been a coat hanger baby, been aborted, but I wasn't. There's so many that of us that were not aborted. So be grateful and thankful and know that you're here for a reason to help those others that come into this world. Keep your judging nose to yourself and that tongue behind your teeth. And I'm going to tell you now, all my church brothers and sisters, there will be children of the church that will be coming in to the church that are pregnant with babies out of wedlock, some by choice, others by rape, some by incest, because they didn't change anything. All those children are still children that will and may come into this world. Be ready. Be ready. Because some of them may be yours. Lift up, look up, give God glory, give God honor, and give God the power. And tell God, thank you that you're here. But you're here to help others. Don't talk about it, be about it. Don't talk about the fetus. Talk about that baby once it gets here because they're coming. And we're going to love them, and love their mamas. And we're going to help them because that's what Christians do. Keep your judgment behind your mouth. Keep them behind your teeth. Keep that nose down. Don't put it in the air. Don't talk about their mama. Don't talk about their daddy. Be loving. Be kind. And keep your opinions to yourself. If you're pro-life, be about it. And that's all I got to say. And I'm getting into our word this morning. Because this is the word of God, and that's what we stand on. standing on God's promises, standing on God's words, being thankful to the Lord that he gave us all another day. And so the word of God says, then David consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds and with every leader. And David said to all the assembly of Israel, it's good to you. And if it is of the Lord, our God, let us send out to our brethren everywhere who are left in all the land of Israel, and with them to the priests and Levites who are in their cities and their common lands, that they may gather together to us, and let us bring the ark of our God back to us. For we have not inquired at it since the days of Saul. Then all the assembly said that they would do so. For the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. So David gathered all of Israel together from Shinar and in Egypt to as far as the entrance of Hamath to bring the ark of God from Kirjath-Jearim. And David and all Israel went up to Bethlehem to Kirjath-Jearim, which belonged to Judah, to bring up from there the ark of God. The Lord who dwells between the cherubim, where his name is proclaimed. So they carry the ark of God on a new cart from the house of Abinadab, and Uzzah and Ahio drove the cart. Then David and all Israel played music before God with all their might, with singing on harps, on strings, on tambourines, on cymbals, and with trumpets. And when they came to Shakedon, thrashing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to hold the ark, but the oxen stumbled, and we know what happened. We found that out in Kings, right? So, you know, understand, 1 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Kings, 2 Chronicles are pretty much almost the same, you know, except for Chronicles gives us the overview as Kings got dug right into the situation. So let's keep it going. And it says, therefore, that place, and let's go back up there and see what happened to Uzzah. And he struck him before he put his hand to the ark, and he died there before God. And David became angry because of the Lord's outbreak against Uzzah. Therefore, that place was called Perez, Uzzah, to this day. David was afraid of God that day, saying, how can I bring the ark of God to me? So David would not move the ark with him into the city of David, but took it aside into the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. The ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom in his house 3 months. And the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that he had. Now Hiram, king of Tyre, sent messages to David and cedar trees with masons and carpenters to build him a house. So David knew that the Lord had established him as king over Israel, for his kingdom was highly exalted for the sake of his people Israel. Then David took more wives in Jerusalem, and David begot more sons and daughters, and all these are the names of his children whom he had in Jerusalem: Shemua, Shobab, Nathan, Solomon, Ebar, Elisha, Eliphelet, Nogah, Nepheg, Japhia, Ashramah, Belidah, Eliphelet. Now when the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over Israel, all the Philistines went up to search for David. And David heard of it and went out against them. Then the Philistines went and made a raid on the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of God, saying, shall I go up after the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand? The Lord said to him, go up, for I will deliver them into your hand. And again, note what David did. He prayed. He didn't just make any decisions without inquiring of God. We can't make decisions without inquiring of God. God will put us in situations for a purpose and a reason. And God will show you some things. You just got to do what God shows you and why he puts certain people in your path for certain reasons. Now you got to get busy and you got to go do what you got to do. Do what God calls you to do and do it well. Hallelujah. David went to God first because he trusted in the Lord. The Lord said to him, go up, for I will deliver them into your hand. So they went up to Baal-perazim. And David defeated them there. Then David said, God has broken through my enemies by my hand like a broken thing, breakthrough of water. Therefore, they called the name of that place Baal-perazim. And when they left their gods there, David gave a commandment, and they were burned with fire. Then the Philistines once again made a raid on the valley. Therefore, David inquired again of God, and God said to him, you shall not go up after them. Circle around them and come upon them in front of the mulberry trees. And it shall be when you hear a sound of marching in the tops of the mulberry trees, then you shall go out to battle. For God has gone out before you to strike the camp of the Philistines. So David did as God commanded him. And they drove back the army of the Philistines from Gibeon as far as Gaza. Then the fame of David went out into all lands, and the Lord brought the fear of him upon all nations. Again, let's give thanks to the Lord. David did not do anything in his own strength. We cannot conquer our mountains in our own strength. We've got to go to God and say, Lord, help me to conquer this mountain. Help me by faith to get rid of this mountain that is before me. Whatever your mountain is, you've got to go to God in prayer before you try to tackle it, before you try to put that hole in that mountain to go through. Hallelujah. I can tell you this, as I was coming back from Virginia, we had to go through North Carolina. And in North Carolina, there's a mountain that they have drilled through that you go under to get just to stay on Interstate 40, I believe. We were on Interstate 40 the whole time. And on Interstate 40, this big, huge mountain is before you, and you just go right underneath it to get to your destination. God has already made holes in your mountains. All you had to do was ask him to. 1 Chronicles 13:3, let us bring the ark of our God back to us, for we have not inquired at it since the days of Saul. David saw the ark as a means to draw even closer to God than he had previously. We are made for an intimate relationship with God, and we should employ every godly means possible to draw close to him. That's our life lesson from 1 Chronicles 13:3. From verse 14, the ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom, and the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom. God used his blessing on Obed-Edom's house to show David that although he would always judge sin, he desired to draw close to his people and bless. We got to have that Jabez prayer. You know, if it's God's will, bless me, enlarge my territory, because you have not, because you ask not. You got to start asking God for what you need. You have not because you ask not. Ask and watch God show you his blessing and the overflow that only he can give. We got to trust in the Lord. 1 Chronicles 14:12, David gave a commandment and they were burned with fire. Unlike some of his predecessors and many of his successors, David did not collect the idols of his defeated enemies, but burn them as God commanded in Deuteronomy 7:5. Obedience always brings blessings. And I tell you this, obedience is better than sacrifice. When God says get rid of a thing, you got to get rid of it. We can't keep holding on, excuse me, to what was, what should be, what we woulda, woulda, coulda, shoulda. We got to let the woulda, coulda, and shoulda go and move forward in what is and what will be. Hallelujah. Keep giving God honor, glory, and praise this morning. Chapter 15 of 1 Chronicles says, David built houses for himself in the city of David, and he prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched a tent for it. Then David said, no one may carry the ark of God but the Levites, for the Lord has chosen them to carry the ark of God and to minister before him forever. And David gathered all Israel together at Jerusalem to bring up the ark of the Lord to its place, which he had prepared for it. Then David assembled the children of Aaron and the Levites of the sons of Korah, Uriel, the chief and 120 of his brethren, of the sons of Mari. Asaiah, the chief and 220 of his brethren, of the sons of Gershon. Joel, the chief and 130 of his brethren, of the sons of Elaphan. Shemaiah, the chief and 200 of his brethren, of the sons of Hebron. Ael, the chief and 80 of his brethren, of the sons of Uzziel. Abinadab, the chief and 112 of his brethren. And David called for Zadok and Abathar, the priests, and for the Levites, for Uriel, Asaiah, Joel, Shemaiah, Eliel, and Abinadab. He said to them, you are the heirs of the father's houses of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves, you and your brethren, and you may bring up the ark, that you may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel to the place I have prepared for it. For because you did not do it the first time, the Lord our God broke out against us because we did not consult him about the proper order. Honey, whew, I said, honey. Because, you know, I'm talking to y'all as my family and my friends, my loved ones. We got to do what God says. We got to consult God before we do anything. You know, David realized, I made a mistake, and I'm not going to make that mistake again. I didn't go and find out how to bring the ark up. I didn't consult with my dad, and now I did, and this is what we're going to do the right way. Hallelujah. So the priests and the Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel. And the children of the Levites bore the ark of God on their shoulders by its poles as Moses had commanded, according to the what? The word of the Lord. David learned, said, we're going to be decent and in order in this thing. We're not going to just haphazardly bring up the ark of our Father God. Then David spoke to the leaders of the Levites to appoint their brethren to be the singers, accompanied by instruments of music, string instruments, harps, and cymbals, by raising the voice with a sounding joy. So the Levites appointed Heman, the son of Joel, of the brethren Asaph, the son of Berechiah, and their brethren, the sons of Merari, Ethan, the son of Kishiah, and with them their brethren of the second rank, Zechariah, Ben, Jaziel, Miramoth, Jehel, Unai, Elab, Benaniah, Messiah, Methaniah, Eliphali, Nicaniah, Obed-Edom, and Jael the gatekeeper, the singers, Heman, Asaph, sound the cymbals of bronze, Zechariah, Azel, Shiramoth, Jael, Unai, Eab, Menasiah, and Benaniah, with string according to Amos, Methaniah, Eliphale, Micaniah, Obed-Edom, Jael, Azariah, and direct with heart, the Shemaniah, leader of the Levites, were instructed in charge of the music because he was skillful. Berechiah and Elkanai were doorkeepers for the ark. Shebaniah, Jehoshaphat, Nethanel, Amasai, Zechariah, Benaniah, Eliza, the priest, were to blow the trumpets before the ark of God, and Obed-Edom and Janiah, doorkeepers for the ark. So David, the elders of Israel, and the captains over 1,000 went to bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord from the house of Obed-Edom with joy. And so it was, when God helped the Levites who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord, that they offered 7 bulls, 7 rams. David was clothed with a robe of fine linen, as well as all the Levites who bore the ark, that says Shenaniah, the music master, with the singers. David also wore a linen ephod. Thus all Israel brought up the ark of the covenant of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the horn and with trumpets and with cymbals, making music with string instruments and harp. And it happened, as the ark of the covenant of the Lord came to the city of David, that Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David whirling and playing music, and she despised him in her heart. Couldn't handle it. Celebrating. because they knew that God's ark was coming home. Hallelujah. David did not care about being dignified. What did he told? He told him in 2 Kings, in 1 Kings, I'll be more undignified than this. Come on now. So they brought the ark of God and set it in the midst of the tabernacle that David had erected for it. Then they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before God. And when David had finished offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. Then he distributed to everyone of Israel, both men and women, to everyone a loaf of bread, a piece of meat, and a cake of raisins. And he appointed some of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord to commemorate, to thank, and to praise the Lord God of Israel. Asaph, the chief, and the next to him, Zechariah, and Jael, Shemiramoth, Jehiel, Mathaniah, Elab, Menaniah, and Obed-Edom, Jael, with string instruments and harps, but Asaph made music with cymbals. Then Ananiah and Jehaziel, the priest, regularly blew the trumpets before the ark of the covenant of God. On that day, David first delivered this psalm into the hand of Asaph and his brethren to thank the Lord. And this is our title for this morning. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing to him. Sing psalms to him. Talk of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous work which he has done. His wonders and the judgment of his mouth. O seed of Israel, his servant, your children of Jacob, his chosen one. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Remember his covenant forever. The word which he commanded for 1,000 generations. The covenant which he made with Abraham and his oath to Isaac. Hallelujah. His oath to Isaac and confirmed it to Jacob for a statute. To Israel for all an everlasting covenant. Saying to you, I will give the land of Canaan as the allotment of your inheritance. When you were few in number, indeed very few and strangers in it, when they went from one nation to another and from one kingdom to another people, he permitted no man to do them wrong. Yes, he rebuked kings for their sake, saying, do not touch my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm. Hallelujah. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is also to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, and let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea roar in all its fullness. Let the field rejoice in all that is in it. Then the trees of the wood shall rejoice before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. And say, save us, O God of our salvation. Gather us together and deliver us from the Gentiles to give thanks to your holy name, to triumph in your praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. And all the people said, amen. Can you say with me this morning, amen, and praise the Lord. Amen, and praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord today, family. For he is good. God is good. And we can only say, save us, O God of our salvation. Hallelujah. And all the people, let's say it one more time, amen and praise the Lord. So he left Esau and his brothers there before the ark of the covenant of the Lord to minister before the ark regularly at every day's work required. And Obed-Edom and his 68 brethren, including Obed-Edom, the son of Jeduthun and Hosea, to be gatekeepers, and Zadok the priest and his brethren, the priests before the tabernacle of the Lord at the high place that was at Gibeon, to offer burnt offerings to the Lord on the altar of burnt offering regularly morning and evening, and to do according to all that is written in the law of the Lord, which he commanded Israel, and with them Heman and Dedathan, and the rest who were chosen, who were designated by name, to give thanks to the Lord, because his mercy endures forever, and with them Heman and Dedathan, to sound aloud the trumpets and cymbals and the musical instruments of God. Now the sons of Dedan were gatekeepers. Then all the people departed, every man to his house, and David returned to bless his house. Hallelujah. What a word this morning. And as we go back into some life lessons from this chronicle word, from Chronicles 15 and 16, it's 1 Chronicles 15 and 16, says in 15 and 26, God helped the Levites who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord. David and the Levites did not make the same mistake twice regarding the transportation of the ark. This time they carefully followed God's instructions, Deuteronomy 10 and 8, and received great blessings for it. God helps us in the work he commissions us to do. He does not merely give us a task and leave us alone to do it. He gives us his strength and his presence to make our work successful. 1 Chronicles 15 and 28, Israel brought up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, making music with stringed instruments and harps. Israel rejoiced that the Ark of the Covenant was in Jerusalem again, because God's presence would appear above it. Now that was how God's presence with us always through the Holy Spirit. We may be tempted to take him for granted. However, God's presence should always make us rejoice and worship. Hallelujah. She despised him in her heart. 1 Chronicles 15 and 29. David's wife despised him when she saw him celebrating the return of the ark in a manner she thought undignified for a king. But God is after the heart, and David delighted to give his whole heart to the Lord regardless of appearance. Are you delighted to give your whole heart to God regardless of appearance? Don't worry about what he said, she said, they said. You do what God says. Rejoice and give thanks to the Lord. Don't worry about who's looking at you, because I'm going to give God praise, and I don't care if you look at me or not. I love God, and I know he loves me. In my good, in my bad, and in my downright ugly. And even in my mess, he loves me. Because from my mess, God always has a message. Hallelujah. 1 Chronicles 16 and 7. David first delivered this psalm into the hand of Esau and his brother to thank the Lord. Are you thanking God this morning for the breath in your body? Are you thanking God this morning that he gave you his all, that he gave you his son, that he gave us another day? Are you thanking God this morning? David, the great warrior king, took great pleasure in crafting worship songs for praising the Lord. If we want to grow close to God, we must also make time for our own times of personal worship. God's plan has always called for the entire world to acknowledge him, honor him, and enjoy the blessings he loves to shower on those who gladly obey him. Are you obeying God and giving thanks this morning? As we go into Psalm 78, whew, it's a contemplation. And it says this, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark things of old, which we have heard and known. And our fathers, we will not hide them from their children, telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them. The children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments and may not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not set its heart aright and whose spirit was not faithful to God. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They did not keep the covenant of God. They refused to walk in his law and forgot his works and his wonders that he had shown them. We cannot forget God. Marvelous things he did in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zion. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and he made the water stand up like a heap. In the daytime also he led them with the clouds and all the night with the light of fire. He split the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink in abundance like the depths. He also brought streams out of the rock and caused water to run down like rivers. And that was Psalm 78, verses 1 through 16. And a life lesson from our psalmist is, we will not hide them from their children, telling to the generations to come the praises of the Lord. 78 Psalm, verse 4. It is our job to tell our children not only the great things God did in the Bible times, but also the wonderful works he has performed in our own lives. They need to see God at work in us. Thank you, God. And as we go to our proverb word this morning, and our proverb word is coming out of Proverbs chapter 19, and we're starting at verse 20. And it says, listen to counsel and receive instruction, that you may be wise to your in your latter days. There are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel that will stand. We got to give it over to God, whatever your situation, whatever you're needing to. And God will give you the blueprint. He will show you everything you need to do to get rid of your mess, hallelujah, and to move forward in your life. And it tells us in this word, it says, what is desired in a man in kindness? And a poor man is better than a liar. Did y'all catch that? Let's read it one more time. What is desired in a man is kindness. I'm going to say it for the third time. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. What is desired in a man is kindness. And a poor man is better than a liar. The fear of the Lord leads to life, and he who has it will abide in satisfaction. He will not be visited with evil. A lazy man buries his hand in the bowl and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. Too lazy to eat. And this is some life lessons from this word, and it says, what the Bible says about the value of godly counsel. Proverbs 19 and 20. God often uses other believers to strengthen, encourage, and enrich our lives. Despite countless negative influences around us, we can still find wisdom through the counsel of godly men and women. A wonderful example of this is the prophet Nathan in his conversation with King David in 2 Samuel 12, 1 through 14. You know, Nathan didn't play. He did not play. That was a prophet that had to say what he had to say and did what he had to do. And if it meant telling King David, you are that man, that's what he did. And David did what he repented, didn't he? So let's see what Dr. Stanley tells us. Says, God used Nathan to bring his servant David to repentance. Although the intense conviction greatly pained David, it was absolutely necessary in order for him to regain a right relationship with God. The book of Proverbs teaches us repeatedly to seek out godly counsel. You see it in Proverbs 12 and 15, 13 and 10, 15 and 31, 19 and 20. We must be careful that the person giving us counsel is in step with the Lord. While we are all fellow travelers on the path toward godly wisdom, we would be wise to lean on each other for support along the way. But understand this, you can't go to just anybody for counseling. You got to go to that person that you know that God sent you to. So many times we try to go where we don't need to go and have people. Don't let everybody pray over you either, because you don't know what's going on in their heart. You got to be careful and ask God, Lord, who do you want me to pray with? Who do you want me to pray with? Because sometimes you're praying with, they're not just praying for you, but you're praying for them. But you can't allow everybody to lay hands on you either. You got to be careful who you're allowing to lay hands, who you're allowing to pray over you, because you don't want people praying curses over you. We got to be careful, because everybody that hollers, Lord, Lord, is going to make it in. The word of God has already told us that. Proverbs 19:21, there are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel that will stand. It is unfortunate when we make our own plans and forget to seek God's counsel. That's because it's God's plans that will stand, not our own. Therefore, seek God in everything and obey his will. He will move heaven and earth to show you his will, and your obedience to him will bring greater blessings than your plans could hope to achieve. Say with me, amen. And although we have read this word already, I just wanted to go there one more time. And it is in Acts. Thank you, Lord. In Acts chapter 7, starting at verse 22, it says, and, you know, we're not going to start there. We're going to go to actually to today's word, actually. And it is starting at Acts chapter 7. Verses 44 through 16. And this is the story of Stephen. We read it, I believe, on Thursday. But it just touched my heart that this young man loved God. He gave him a history lesson. He went in. He was not ashamed. He was young, and he stood up to the powers that be, and he told them about themselves. He told them the history lesson of where they came from. He told them who had delivered them. He gave them a full lesson. And he told him about it. Says, Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. Now, when he was 40 years old, he came into the heart to visit his brother and the children of Israel. And he talked about it. And we talked about this on Thursday, how he saw the murder, how he went, and how God called him out of his exile. And it goes on to tell us in verse 44, our fathers had the tabernacle witness in the wilderness as he appointed, instructing Moses to make it according to the pattern that he had seen, which our fathers having received it in turn, also brought with Joshua into the land possessed by the Gentiles, whom God drove out before the face of our fathers into the days of David, who found favor before God and asked to find a dwelling for the God of Jacob. Come on now. But Solomon built him a house. Now he's given that history lesson, and we are just talking about David in our chronicles, and now it's giving them a history lesson to let them know, don't look at me because I'm young. I'm learned, and I know who I belong to, and I know where I come from, and I'm letting you know who my Savior is. Stephen was telling them everything that they should have known, because he was talking not to just everybody. He was talking to the Sadducees. He was talking to the Pharisees. He was talking to the learned of his nation. He was talking to those that were in charge of Jerusalem in the temple. He was standing up for Jesus, and he was not afraid. He was a young man, not afraid to speak the word of God. And this is what he told him. He said, let me give you a history lesson first, because you need to know that what the Lord has said in his word has come to fruition. So let's see what Stephen told him. He said, but Solomon built him a house. However, the Most High does not dwell in temples made with hands. As the prophet says, heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will you build for me, says the Lord? Or what? Ooh, hallelujah. Or what is the place of my rest? Has my hand not made all these things? Come on now. And he says, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. You always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did. So do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? Come on now. And they killed those who foretold the coming of the just one, of whom you now have become the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Ooh, come on now. And look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. Did y'all catch that? They laid their clothes at the feet of Saul. So Saul, as a young man, saw this young man, another, his peer, stoned to death because he proclaimed who he was. Not afraid to speak truth to power. He was not afraid to stand up to those that were not doing right and who told them about themselves, and they didn't like hearing about themselves. And then it goes and say, and they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. He died. And I love this life example that Dr. Stanley gives us. And he says, echoing his Savior, Stephen slumped to the ground as blood and forgiveness poured from his lips. Nearby, a young man watched, unaware that his death would bring life to worldwide evangelism. Years later, the young man who has supported the execution of Stephen for his blasphemy against Moses and the temple became the Apostle Paul. Stephen most revealed his Christ-like qualities when under duress. As the stones pelted him, he cried, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Ooh, hallelujah. And then as death inched closer with every blow, he echoed his Savior by praying aloud, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. As Jesus said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Stephen said, do not hold this sin against them. The beauty of Stephen's final words can never be overstated. They must eloquently summarize. They most eloquently summarize the heart of a true Christian. They testify of the Lord of grace living inside him. They speak of ultimate love. These words grab the attention of someone who is nearby watching. I would say that Saul never forgot that encounter, that he said his face shone like the face of an angel. Encounter did not change the outcome, but it changed what was to come. Hallelujah. Thanking God for the change. And it says in Acts 7 and 56, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. We learn from several Bible passages that when Jesus ascended to heaven, he sat down at the right hand of God in Mark 16 and 19, in Colossians 3 and 1, in Hebrews 1 and 3, 10 and 12, and 12 and 2. Yet to greet this first Christian martyr, the Lord stood. Wow. Did y'all catch that? Did you catch it? The Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And as we continue in this word, it says, Acts 7 and 6, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. Just as Jesus asked his Father to forgive those who crucified him in Luke 23 and 34, so Stephen asked God to give his murderers a chance to repent. God's grace enables us to do what we would never do on our own. Can we say thank you, God, this morning? Thank God for the grace that he gives us through his Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And as we get ready to wrap it up this morning, if there's anyone that has a word that they would like to speak, push the number 1 on your phone and your line will be open. For those that are listening on social media, the number to call if you want to call in instead of listening on social media, the number is 213-943-3597. We are here from Sunday to Friday, 7 a.m., God willing. There will not be a show on Tuesday because I am doing my civic duty and I will be working as an election judge. So there will not, church announcement, there will not be a show on Tuesday, but we will come back together. We'll be together tomorrow and we'll be together on Wednesday and back on track on Wednesday morning. So as we get ready to get out of here this morning, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, and then our prayer for today. And a word from our sister in Christ for Friday up to today is this. Faith in God includes faith in his timing. You have to believe in the process. And we all know that it was faith that David said, I'm moving the ark, but he had to come back and do it in God's timing. And then as we go into yesterday's word, nobody can block the blessings that God has for you. Hallelujah. Nobody can block the blessings that God has for you. And for this morning is a scripture from Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Have a blessed Sunday. And our word for this morning is forgive me. Consider my afflictions and my troubles and forgive me all my sins. 25th Psalm, verse 18, ESV. God of mercy, you cover me in your great love, forgiving all my sins. When I was overwhelmed by the weight of shame, you lifted my guilt that allowed me to follow after you. With the grace of one who has been set free, Lord, there is no limit to the mercy you extend. There is nothing I do that is beyond the grip of your grace. Instead of running from you, may I come to you with every failure, knowing you won't turn me away. I cannot adequately thank you for the ways in which you continually save me from myself. You are incredible in the countless ways you pour out your love over my life. I could never deserve the favor you give. Even in my trouble, you have set me free to dance upon the discontent of my failure. Thank you for your faithfulness. And I say today, do you believe that when you ask for it, you receive full forgiveness? I do. I have my hands in the air believing and thanking God for being a forgiving God and a loving God. So I say today, as we get ready to wrap it up, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. And hallelujah, we have a word from our mother. Good morning, Mother Rita. How are you this morning?
Oh, I'm doing great. I said, as long as I'm above ground and not beneath, I'm doing great. I just thank God for the wisdom and knowledge that he gives you to get on this line. I enjoy you every day that you come on. It's just a pleasure and a joy to hear your voice. I thank God for you. And you say, ask God to keep blessing you and give you what you stand in the need of each and every day. You're going out, coming in, and just because he loves us with a compassionate love. They're always in his mind. So he's faithful to us when we're not faithful to him. Thank God for you, Mr. Bridget.
Thank you, Mother Rita. We thank God for you as well. And we thank God for your support. And I just thank God for just all the love that you have shown me. And I just can't say enough that I just give thanks to God this morning for all of you that are listening. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord's light shine upon all of you. And as we pray every day, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours be blessed. And remember, find a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. It's not about us. It's all about him. And remember, as you go through this day and every day, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Hallelujah. Have mercy on us all, God. And God. guide us in the direction you want us to go. In Jesus' name we pray, believing and trusting in you, O Lord. Amen. Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap. Why? Because it's time to go to work. And who do we work for? We work for God. Be blessed and have a great day. It's a wrap.